All right, well, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5. You're talking about being ambassadors for Christ, and we're just going to continue on in that vein today. So 2 Corinthians 5, 14. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It's amazing. You can always get something new out of the Word. It just keeps speaking to us because it's not just a book. It's the words of the living God. They're eternal. And when you speak this word, when you read this word, it is speaking to your spirit. It is not speaking to your head. That's why, you know, people, if they're not born again, it brings them to Christ. But there's so many things that are written to the Christian. And if you're not a Christian, you can't receive it. It's not your head. It's your heart. And right now, when we're speaking, you know, when I speak, if I'm hooked up with God and it's under the unction of the Holy Spirit, it's going to your spirit. It's talking to your heart. Right now, we're being fed spiritually. It's so important that we're fed spiritually. You know, most of us wouldn't skip a meal, even if you're running out in the morning. You know, everybody has different eating habits, but, you know, even if you just grab a little bite to eat on the way out, something fast, you still usually, you know, eat something for meals, unless, you know, you're in the habit of eating two meals a day or whatever. But generally speaking, even if you're taking a quick lunch, you're really busy, you get something small. We have it so many times, we'll go for day after day. We don't nourish ourselves. And this, we need this to live, really, to live the way we're supposed to live, spiritual food. And so right now, when we're gathered together here and listening to the Word of God, it's nourishing our hearts. It's nourishing our spirit. It is building us up. It is giving us the very life we need to live a victorious life. Because make no mistake, if you're a Christian, whether you like it or not, you're in a war. There is a side, you know, there is an enemy, there is a demonic realm. They take it seriously. Satan takes it seriously whether we take it seriously or not. And if we're Christians, we're on God's side. You got a flag on you. You're marked with a jersey. Just like you're wearing a jersey, you know. He's coming down. He doesn't care if you think you're in the game or you're on the team or not. He's going to knock you out if he can. Just sideline you. Make your life a wreck if he can. But he can't do that if we know who we are in God Almighty. If we know who we are through Christ, Satan cannot knock us around. We don't have anything to fear. This isn't what I'm talking about, but we'll just go with, you know, this is not what I plan to say. But we don't have to fear anything from the devil. When we talk about satanic, you know, things in the demonic forces, they're real. Make no mistake, they're real, but we have triumph over them because we have God Almighty. People in other countries know that they're real. They are powers that are real. You know, stuff happens. There are powers. There's this story. Not story. We met some missionaries when I was back in Lincoln. It really made an impression on me. They were down in Panama and had been there for years. And they told the story. There's this witch doctor that got saved. And they talked to him. And they said when the Christian would walk through the woods, it was like there was a light around him. The people, the witch doctors and stuff, they knew when a Christian was coming. There was a presence around them, whether they knew it or not, whether they knew the authority that they had or not. When they were walking down, it was like there was a light surrounding them, and those people trembled because if those Christians knew what to do with it, they were no match, and they knew it, the witch doctors. But if we don't know, we have this power because we are representatives of Almighty God walking through this world. And whether you know it or not, whether you feel it or not, whether your hair is combed or not, or you got your makeup on, or, you know, haven't showered today, you are carrying the power of Almighty God. We are walking through this earth, and whether we can see it or not, there is a presence around it. It's the presence of Almighty God. And so when we go into a room, God goes with us. When we walk out of a room, God's there. He is walking. There are angels that go with us. There are angels that go before us. Thank God we have the King of the universe on our side. And when we walk through this earth, we are ambassadors for Him. We are walking as representatives of the King. And so we don't have to be afraid of any power on the other side. We have authority given to us by Almighty God. We don't have to tremble in fear of any of that. We just walk and we take authority over anything that would try to rise its head. We just command it to cease and desist and tell it to go. There isn't anything that can bind us. We are representatives of God Almighty. Amen. Thank God. So this word is powerful and living. So let's read in 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. See right there, that if one died for all, then all died, and if he died for all, then those who live, that's us, should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. It's easy to get sidetracked and start living for yourself, but if you're a Christian, if you're in the body of Christ, we're to live for him. We're to live for the King, for the one that died and rose, died for us and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. He says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. See, it's not so much about the way you look. It's not so much about your family background. It's who you are in Christ. See, he's given, we're going to get to this, this is where we're going today, he's given each of us gifts. See, if you look at me just because of my appearance, you know, or anything on the exterior, you know, when it comes to like standing as a pastor or whatever, that's not, there are things that come into play there, but there's spiritual gifts that all of us have that if we hook up with those, that's what we're, how we're going to impact this world, because those are the things that God's in. It's not just... See, it's not, spiritual gifts are not the same as natural gifts. God will use our natural gifts, but a spiritual endowment is not natural. God does not care, per se, about your natural ability. He'll take anyone. You've heard it, he's used a donkey. He has time and time again throughout history, if you read the Bible, used people that weren't qualified to do what they were doing. He'll take the weakest person in an area and tell them, and go over here and say, now do this. He'll take you out of your strength and tell you to go do something. He's not concerned with your natural ability. It's his ability. He'll endow you spiritually with what you need to do to get the job done. So, you know, people, if you're, it says, what is it, over in 1 Corinthians or something? That it's not after the flesh, people that are mighty and people that are strong. You know, he's not concerned with that, that all the glory would go to him. That all that if you're going to glory in anything, that you glory in God. See, spiritual gifts, we don't regard people according to the flesh. I don't regard you according to the flesh or you according to the flesh. There are spiritual gifts in each one of us. And those are the things God has endowed us with, and those are the places God's going to flow through. Not that he won't use your natural ability, but your natural ability is secondary. If you rely on your natural ability, that's where we miss it. See, we rely on God, and that's secondary, our natural ability is secondary. Rely on God to do what he's told you to do, regardless if you feel like it, regardless if you think it, you know, it's something you can do. If God's telling you to do it, step out and do it, because God's equipped you to do it. He's equipped you to do anything he's called you to do. Your natural ability is secondary. He'll use it, but if you put that on the throne, believe me, it'll fall. You put your trust in anything but God Almighty, it will crumble. It's not your intellect. It's not your physical attributes. It's not your strength. You know, it says in what Psalms are back there, you know, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. You know, somewhere in the Old Testament. You know, it's not that we trust in ourselves, trust in our ability, trust in how good, trust in my education, trust in my degrees, trust in my, you know, my family background, trust in my money, over and over in the Psalms and in the Proverbs, you know, that the rich man trusts in his wealth. That's his strong tower. That's what he trusts in. He thinks there's nothing that can get through it. That's not true. Cancer will get through it. I don't care how much money you get, you know, you have. That can wipe you out. That can kill you just like the poor person. But there is nothing that can trump the name of the Lord our God. And we are ambassadors for him. And so we need to be conscious of the fact when we're walking around that it's not us. See, an ambassador is not an ambassador in the natural. If he's a representative of a country, of a nation, what makes him an ambassador and special and a dignitary is not him. It doesn't matter what he looks like.
It doesn't matter where he came from. What makes him, you know, prominent is the fact that he's a representative of that country and he's been designated so. That's what people respect. You lose that title, you can walk into the same room, the people are not going to act the same as they were the week before when you were an ambassador. Guess why? Guess what? Because it's not you. It's not that person. You know, you get on the plane and act like, you know, you're not an ambassador anymore. You've moved on and you try to take the same privileges. Guess what? They're going to look at you and block you off. No, sorry, sir. You're not qualified to go here. They'll treat you like they would any other civilian. But when you're an ambassador, that opens things up for a person. It's the same thing with us. We start trusting in our own abilities, start looking at our own selves, things that are in the natural that aren't the reason that we're an ambassador. We miss it. What we have to do is focus on the fact that God Almighty made us through Jesus Christ an ambassador, and we are representatives of Him. And what He's told us to do, that's the business that we should be on. And if we'll just stick to that and stick to Him, you know, and say, God, what do You want me to do here? Not what I want to do, what You want me to do. Because our whole life is a mission. When we're a Christian, our whole life is a mission from God Almighty. Every second of every day is a mission, and sooner or later, you know, one day it will end. Either Jesus is going to come back or we're going to go on to be with Him, but we're on a mission from Him. And so we act in accordance with the way He wants us to act, and we're on the mission He wants us to be on. You know, somebody said I can't remember the person, but it was like, you know, somebody asked him, so what would you do if you knew Jesus was coming back tomorrow? The answer, he said, well, I'd be doing whatever I thought I was going to do that day anyway. If I was gardening, I'd be gardening. You know, we ought to live. We ought to be doing today what we would be doing if we thought Jesus was coming back tomorrow, because we ought to be about our Father's business. If we think we got to change 15 things if Jesus were coming back, then we're not living the way we ought to be living. We're not about Him. If we think, oh boy, I'd change all this and I'd turn it upside down, well, some of that we may, you know, it's natural to think, my goodness, if the King was coming back. But really, we ought to just be led every day that, hey, we're in the right place at the right time. God's already got us to the place that we're supposed to be. And if it's in our garden that day, that's fine. Because we have a natural person too, and we got to relax and recoup, and God's not against that. Jesus Himself did that. Doesn't mean we got to get all spiritual and throw everything, I'd be praying, or I'd be going out. I'd go down to the streets and witness to everybody. Guess what? If Jesus was coming, He's already got the people. If He's already prompted the people that need to witness to whoever, we don't want to get in the flesh and try to do that. But my point is, we're ambassadors and we want to just live according to the way what He's called us to do, do what He's called us to do, and not regard people and ourselves. See, that includes yourselves. Don't regard yourself according to the flesh. Don't look at what you can do. Don't look at what you think your limitations are, because God, if He's telling you to do something, doesn't matter what the limitations are. He'll make you look like a genius. He'll give you all the resources will be there to do what God's called you to do. So He says in verse 16, therefore, from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know Him thus no longer. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God in Christ, that what God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. It's as if God Himself, see, Jesus walked the earth in the flesh and spoke the truth. Now we are the body of Christ. Now we are walking the earth, and it's the same way. We are walking about, and God is working through us, imploring people to be reconciled to Him because of what Jesus did. Verse 21, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. We are the righteousness of God in Him because that we can stand boldly. We can stand confidently on this earth. We can walk around with our heads held high. We can go forth in what God has called us to do. In your place, in what God has called us to do. Let's turn over to Romans 12. So it says in verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, verse 2, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to the people that are around you. You're an ambassador of Christ. You are citizens of heaven. It says in our place, I believe it's Colossians, that we are citizens of heaven. See, we are citizens of another realm at this point. And it's as if you're an ambassador to another country, you would maybe, you know, you want to relate to the people there, and so you learn their customs and stuff, but you don't conform. So you're not a citizen of that country. You're a citizen of the country you're representing. It's the same thing with us. We're ambassadors of God Almighty. We're here. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. Yeah, we don't have to shut ourselves off, shut our kids off, and be completely away from the world. And who's going to reach the world? No, we're in the world. We are around the people that aren't saved, the people that aren't in the children or of the children of God, but we don't conform to the ways of the world. That doesn't mean we can't, you know, we can't be modern, we can't do that. Those things don't matter. You know, technology and everything, those things are neutral. It's how you use them. But we don't conform and just, you know, morals and all those type of things, the way we behave, the way we spend our time ought to line up with the way we would be representing, the way we'd want to represent God's kingdom. So we don't conform to the world. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. So in verse 3, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So don't think. Now he's getting into gifts here. He says, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. God has dealt to each one of us gifts. Which is what he says here. And so, and we'll go on, maybe we'll come back to that verse. Verse 4, for we have, as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So if you go back to verse 3, he says, don't think, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And then he goes on to talk about these gifts. See, God has given you gifts. Like he said in verse 6, that according to the grace that is given us, the gifts given to us according to the grace, he's given us gifts. So don't go thinking, based on your gift, to think of yourself more highly than you ought. Not lower either. But you're part of a body. We're all part of a body. So we don't think of ourselves based on the gift. See, it's a gift. It's somewhere else, you know, in the scripture, it talks about that. What do you have that you haven't received? See, if you've received a spiritual gift and you're operating in that spiritual gift, and we all have them, God's all graced us to do certain things, it's not you. It's like he said that we just read in 2 Corinthians, we don't regard people according to the flesh. See, it's not, if it's a spiritual gift, it's not you, it's not me. If I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, you know, in my life, then it's not me. If I'm hooking up with God, it's Him. The same with all of us. It's God Almighty. And so He's given you faith to operate in that gift. You know, one person, you know, they go and start businesses, and our people go, how do you do that? I mean, why do you even think you can do that? Well, but they believe they can do it because it's a gift of God. Now, I'm talking about if you're flowing with God, people start to do things like that anyway. Or, you know, or any other gift. Some people, you know, they look at them and say, how can you do that? You know, doctor or a nurse or whatever, how can you do that the way you do it? How do you have that ability? Well, it's a gift of God. Even people that aren't saved, they still have gifts in them that if they would use them for the glory of God, you know, they'd find fulfillment. But we have gifts. And so God's given you faith to go with that you will operate in what He's given you. In that gift, in that grace. And we're all different. He says in verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is in us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. If that's your gift, then go with it. Flow with what God has given you. And don't try to do somebody else's ministry. Don't try to do somebody else's gift. Don't try to be somebody else, because if you try to be somebody else, of course, you're going to make a mess of it, and you don't have the equipment. That's what it comes down to. You don't have the ability. Now, there is a certain... I won't even go there. But, you know, you can get out of your position. You know, you'll see it on sports teams all the time. There's people that are built to play certain things. You know, soccer players, most often successful soccer players, are a lot differently built than basketball players. Soccer players, I mean, some of the best soccer players in the world, you know, 5'8", 5'9", 5'7", they don't have to be short, some tall, but I mean, you got a low center of gravity and very strong legs and stuff, you're very hard to be pushed off the ball, and if you're fast, you can do a lot of damage. Basketball player, somebody that's 6'8", 6'9", and there's a few soccer players that are tall, but it doesn't work so well. And the same thing, you know, there's very, very few basketball players that are 5'7". Spud Webb was one of them. You know, the guy could jump however tall in the air. But the fact is, they're gifted according to a certain way physically. Now, spiritually, it looks like that. It's so obvious to us in the natural. You know, you got some guy that's completely out of his elements. Like, go back to what you mean. You were an awesome center. You're 6'10". You know, in basketball, you can play that position. What are you trying to go over and play this other sport or position? Get back to where you're supposed to be. It's obvious to everybody, but spiritually, it's so easy to try to do what somebody else is gifted to do. And it's so obvious you're not gifted to do it. It's so obvious somebody is not gifted to be in a certain place, but they want to be there for some reason. Well, it looks just as foolish as something in the natural, somebody being completely out of position. So don't think of yourself highly, you know, more highly than the eye. Don't think of yourself lowly. Just get where, we just need to get where God has called us to get, you know. Be there, and then we'll, everything will flow right. So let's go to Ephesians. I think we'll probably end up closing in Ephesians. We'll probably just continue next week. Ephesians 4. Start with verse 1. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. Let's skip that down to 11. Let's skip to 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So there's several things there. If we go back to verse 11, he says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then he goes on. So you know, there are these certain gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, that God has set in the church to build us up, to build us all up, so that we can do what we're called to do. See, it's not like, you know, it's all giftings. But those giftings are set in the body of Christ, like we talked about when we come here. We're getting ministered to by the Word. The Word comes alive. This is a different setting. We can read the Word by ourselves, but there's a difference. Like in the gift that, you know, if I'm standing in the gift of a pastor, there's a gift there that God flows through to bring things to light and to bring the Word alive in a way that's different. And it's a different facet of our relationship and a different thing God has set in place so that we get everything we need, so we get nourished the way we should. And that's why these gifts are set into place, so that we can all get equipped to do what God has called us to do, the work of the ministry. That God needs all different giftings, like he said over in Romans, there's all different giftings and graces in every walk of life. Doctors, teachers, lawyers, homemakers, engineers, people that are in government. He needs people in every walk of life to be flowing with him, ambassadors in that part, in that walk, people that will hook up with him, and then we get built up through certain gifts so that we can do the ministry and the gifting that God has called us to do. And like he said then in verse 16, and this goes along with what we are reading in Romans, he said in verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. See, we're knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. See, every part doing its share, every joint having a supply. Over in Romans, it said, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. See, we all have a part. We all have a grace. We all have giftings. And God needs us to be in our place, to walk with Him, to be ambassadors in the place that He has called us to be, and to flow with Him. And if we'll all do that, then in verse 16, it says, that causes the growth of the body for the edifying or building up of itself in love. See, if we'll all just be in the right position, if we'll all just take what God has told us to do, if we'll all just flow with the spiritual gifts that God has called us to do, then the body, all of us, will draw from each other, we'll all bring something to the table, and the whole body will grow up and be strong the way God has ordained his body to be. Amen.